Praise God. Aren't we glad to be in the house of God? Well, my name's Daniel, for those of you who don't know me. And it's my joy and a delight to be able to preach the word of God in this church today. And I just found out last night I was having a conversation with Andrew, and so I was just asking him, who's preaching tomorrow? And he says, why, have you got something you want to preach? And I says, I don't know. So I put the phone down. And as soon as that minute, I just thought, yeah, I'll just go for it. So I phoned him again and I says, Andrew, go on, I'll preach tomorrow. And because I love doing this, you know, because I'm so passionate and I really love God and all that. And I want to be ready for everything that I see every day. I want to be ready in season and out of season, you know. And it's just absolutely great to be in here today and to minister to you guys. And you know, so many times in our lives, as we move on in our Christian walk and as we develop our spiritual giftings and as we get to know God more and more, sometimes we can get so much caught up in that busyness of our lives, we forget the wow factor of the Bible. You know, we forget the wow factor of Christianity. When was the last time I opened my Bible and I was like, wow? When was the last time I went to church and I went, wow? Do you know, and so many times in our lives, we forget that wow factor. And I just want to highlight a few scriptures in Bible. And if you've got your Bible, turn with me to John 21. And before I read the scripture, I just want to read a few scriptures before, a chapter before. And it says in John 20, verse 30, and the title of my Bible, it says, the purpose of John's gospel. And it says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in the Bible. And that is something that we should be wowed about. This Bible does not record everything, all the miracles that Jesus performed. And that's exactly, and we should be going wow every time we read scriptures like this. So I just want to, I'm just going to read out the whole chapter in John 21. And he says, afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large numbers of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garments around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net were not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And after that, it carries on saying, when Jesus had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And I'm sure most of us, we've already read this story before. And as we read the chapters before, you know, we see Jesus being persecuted. We see disciples running away for their lives. And we see everything happening before that, as we all know the story. And the very thing that highlights the most as I read this chapter is the fact that Peter, after Jesus was crucified, goes back to the same thing which he was doing before he was called. And most of us, it's the same thing with us as well. You know, most of the times we expect some kind of miracles in our lives as well. And we go to God and we're on a wonderful journey with God. We're encountering God so much in our lives. And we see lots of things happen in our lives. But as soon as something disastrous happens in our life, what do? Some of us, we just drift away from our walk with God. And that is the very thing that happened with Peter as well. This man loved God. And he was working with God in his ministry with Jesus. He was the man who was working in Jesus' ministry for about 3 years, probably more than that, do you know? But the very thing that I want to highlight today is the fact that Peter, when he was working with God, he was so full of passion that he was willing to do everything. But when he faced lots of trials in his life, that shook him. That shook him. And this is the very guy when Jesus was prophesying in his life, saying, I'm gonna go to the cross and people are gonna persecute me and I'm gonna suffer and everything. And this was the very guy who stood up and said, no, God, no, Jesus, it's not gonna happen to you. He was the very guy who said, I'm gonna come with you, I'm gonna do my best. Do you know? And as the story carries on, do you know, it just says, Jesus appeared to different disciples. And we see Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene, Jesus appearing to Thomas and all different disciples before that story in chapter 20. And here we've got in chapter 21, Peter is in his boat and he's fishing. And whilst he's fishing, he's probably thinking to himself, what's next? What is next? And as soon as he sees Jesus, and as soon as he hears someone saying, it is the Lord, what is the first thing that he does? What? He covers himself. And most of us, including myself, sometimes whenever we do something wrong in our lives, what do? We try to cover it up. And that is the very thing, you know, whenever we're in our spiritual walk with God, and we do something wrong, and don't get me wrong, you know, Peter loved God, and so do we. And Peter was on fire for God, so are we. But whenever we crumble, whenever we fall down, what happens? We try to cover it up, and we forget all the miracles that Jesus performed in our life. We forget all the things that God has done for us. And we highlight that very thing that we done wrong, and we so guilt trip ourselves that we forget who God is. And we guilt trip ourselves so much that we forget that God is a gracious God. And here is Peter. And as soon as he sees Jesus, first thing he does, he covers himself up. Because he thinks that I'm not worthy. Because he thinks that, oh, I've done wrong thing. Now, I don't know if Jesus would see the same thing in me like he did before I ignored him 3 times. I rejected him 3 times. That's what Adam and Eve done as well. Whenever they say sin, what was the first thing they done? They covered themselves up. And Jesus was calling them in the garden. God was calling them in the garden, and they tried to cover themselves up. And I just want to encourage each one of us today, you know, there is no sin that Jesus cannot forgive. Regardless of wherever we are in our walk with God, you know, we're not perfect. We will never be perfect. We are righteous because Jesus is righteous. And when we embrace Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we do become righteous with him. Do you know, I want to really encourage each one of us, you know, because I've had lots of my friends in pastors' world, you know, they've had wonderful encounters with God and they've loved God and all that, you know, and they make one simple mistake, and what do? They guilt trip themselves for the rest of their lives. It says in the Word of God, you know, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And I want to ask that, you know, when I came to church earlier, there was a leaflet in back about Judas. And as I think the story of Judas, you know, Judas, before he betrayed Jesus, he was a man of God. Would everyone agree with me? He was a man of God. He loved God. And so many times, you know, whenever we read the story, we see Judas as a betrayer, betraying Jesus. All right, he betrayed Jesus. He done wrong things. And we see times after times in Bible where he even says to the lady who bought that perfume jar, and he goes saying, "Why did you break the perfume jar? You could have sold it out and given it to the poor." And that just struck me earlier as I was sat there thinking about it. I was like, what if Judas would have waited and not acted on the condemnation, but would have been really convicted and went to Jesus and asked him for forgiveness? Would he have been forgiven? Yes, he would. Because God is a gracious God. He is a compassionate God. And there is no sin big enough that God cannot forgive. If I was to guilt trip myself, I wouldn't be standing here today. I wouldn't be able to wake up in mornings. Because there's thoughts in my mind that aren't even Christian. You know, and there's things in my heart they're not even Christian sometimes. And I think to myself, am I even saved? Do you know, but God is a gracious God. And I don't walk with my feelings. And I try not to walk with my feelings, but I simply try to walk in who I am in Christ. And if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 2. And he reads, "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness, through a land not sown.'" And church, you know, this is God speaking to his people. God says, "I remember the devotion of your youth." And you know, sometimes we think God as this big guy up in sky, you know, who only kind of like condemns you, who judges you, and who hasn't got feelings, who doesn't care for you, and all of this stuff. You know, but this is God speaking to his people, saying, "I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me." And as we read in verse 5, it says, this is what the Lord says, "What fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me?" And sometimes, you know, we can relate to this very scripture. And isn't that us sometimes when we have that deep encounter with God, and when we call out to God and he delivers us and he saves us and he sets us free and all that and the other, then we forget everything that he's done for us. Then we start digging up our own well and try taking our living water. God is the only living water. We cannot dig our own wells and our own thing and kind of like expect to get living water out of it. And we've had that encounter with God, and including myself, you know. So many times I forget what God's delivered me out of. So many times I forget what God has done for us and done for me. And God's sitting there thinking to himself, "What did I do? What did I do?" Do you know the very thing that broke God's heart wasn't the sin? The very thing that broke God's heart was we put sin above God. That's what we done. We chose worldly things more than the love of God. We chose drugs, partying, and all that and things and the other more than love and relationship with God. That was the very thing that broke God's heart. And you know, have you ever been to that place where you know something isn't good for you, when you know something isn't right for you, and you feel in your heart that it's not good for you, yet you give into it? It's called temptation. That's what it is. That's what Paul writes in his book. I do the things that I do not want to do, but I don't do the things that I want to do. There is a battle going in our very lives. You know it's not good for you. I know it's not good for you. Yet, I sometimes get more attracted to it and forget everything and just give in to it. And what do we do when we get stuck in them kind of situations? What do we do? David writes in one of the Psalms. He writes in Psalm 43, verse 5, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." He had that battle going within his heart. He knew that God is a loving God. He knew that God can do all things, yet there was a struggle going in his heart. Your mind is willing to perceive that God is a living God, but yet your heart doubts. And David was in that very situation where he was struggling with himself. And he cries out saying, "Why are you downcast, my soul? Put your hope in God." And what do we do when we're in situations like this, when we know something isn't right for you, where your mind knows something isn't right for you, but your heart gives into it? What do we do? We trust in the Lord. We turn our eyes upon Jesus. We go to Jesus. We look to Jesus. The Word of God says, wait upon the Lord. And what does it mean when it says, wait upon the Lord? When we get stuck in a situation where we don't know what's right for us, where we don't know what's wrong for us, we rely on God. That's what it means when he says, wait upon the Lord. When Daniel, he was thrown, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were thrown in the fire furnace, they were waiting upon the Lord. They trusted in the Lord. And regardless of whatever situation they were going through, they trusted in the Lord and they were like, God, we trust in you. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, he trusted in the Lord. He was waiting upon the Lord. He knew that God was more than the problem that he was facing. He knew that God was a big God. When David, when he was facing Goliath, he knew that God was bigger than Goliath. He knew that through God's strength, he could do anything. That is the same thing with us, you know. Whenever we face situations like that, what do we do? The Bible says, wait upon the Lord. And what does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Isaiah 40, 31 says, those who wait in the Lord. And what does he say when we wait upon the Lord? What happens when we wait upon the Lord? It says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. See, have you ever been in a situation where you're so tired with your job, where you're so frustrated and all that, and you go to God and he touches you and he re-energizes you straight away? That's what he means when he says, wait upon the Lord, go to him. He says, those who wait in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let me read that again. They will soar on wings like eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. See, can you feel that? When you in that still moment, can you feel that? That stillness. It's the presence of God. the greatest sermon you can ever hear in your life is when you're still and you hear the Lord's voice. That is the greatest sermon ever. And most of the times, I cry out to God, God, I'm struggling. God, I'm this and the other. But I don't give him time to talk back to me. I don't give time to be in a room just listening to God. I'm so focused on pouring my burdens and my worries and my anxieties upon God, I don't give him time to talk back to me. And that's what it means when he says, wait upon the Lord. You stay still. And you hear God's voice speaking to that very situation, speaking to your very anxiety, speaking to your very heart. That's what it means when he says, wait upon the Lord. Wait upon God. Then I can just go on and on, but I really do feel that let's just pause it there, and let's just close our eyes and let's just bow our heads and let's just wait upon the Lord. I've really got that sense in my heart that God really wants to minister to us. Like I said earlier, you know, be still and let him minister into our very hearts. Wherever you're at moment, wherever I'm at in my walk with God, be still. Pause, stop everything and just be still and hear his voice. Let him speak into your very being. You know, in Psalm 27 verse 4 he says, one thing I ask of the Lord. And you know, if there was a prayer recorder and it was recording every single prayer that you prayed every day, what would be the one thing that you ask of the Lord every day? What is that one thing you desire of the Lord every day? David writes in Psalm 27, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And as we've got our eyes closed and our heads bowed, I just want us to take few moments, you know, and just pray for that one thing, that one desire you have got in your heart and you want to ask of the Lord, that one thing. Amen. See, I prepared a different thing for today, but I don't know, for some reason God's just stopping me and taking me to that very scripture, wait upon the Lord. I've got lots of things that I can share and lots of things that I can carry on saying. But I've really got that feeling, you know, where God's calling us into that stillness so that he himself can minister to us. You don't need me. You don't need Andrew to minister into your life. You need God to minister into your life. I need God to minister into my life. I don't want to burn off some other man's passion. I want to burn with what God's given me. I want to shine with what God's given me. And I really feel that in my heart, you know, what is that one thing that we ask of the Lord? What is that one thing? If I pray to God, and if there was a prayer recorder that was praying my prayer every day, one thing I would ask of the Lord is, God, I want to be like you. God, I want to know more of you. God, I want to know, I want to be more in your presence. That is my one prayer that I pray to God every day. And it's very obvious, isn't it? It's just obvious, like, I'm sure all of us,
That is the very one thing that we pray to God every day. God, I want to be in your presence. Because there is no place I'd rather be. The things of the world, tried it, done it, don't work. Like Martin was sharing earlier, don't work. The only thing that sustains our life and our very being is the presence of God. Is that presence of God. And throughout our service, as we've started, you know, we've been moving in the presence of God, and the presence of God is in here right now. And as we're in this atmosphere, you know, and if there's anyone in here, if there's anyone in here, you know, I would just encourage you to really open your heart to God and let God minister into your very being. Let God be God and open your hearts and let him minister into your very being. And I just want to finish with this verse again. Psalm 27, verse 4. Actually, let's just close our eyes. And as I read a verse, if you would want to follow me as I read the verse, it's up to you. But as we read this verse together, let's just make this our prayer. Psalm 27, verse 4. Says, one thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. One thing we ask God. One thing that we seek God is that we may dwell in the house of you all the days of our lives, so that we may gaze upon your beauty and seek you in your temple, God. God, I thank you for your presence in here. God, I thank you that you are a living God. God, I thank you that in you all things are possible. And God, I pray, Father, Lord, as we open up our hearts to you, I pray, Father, Lord, that you minister into our very beings. And help us to know, Father, that it's only you who satisfies us. And God, help us to become more dependent on you. And God, I pray, Lord, as we move together and as we press on as a church, I pray, Father, Lord Jesus, help us to become more dependent on you, God. For it's not what we do, but it's all what you do, God. And God, I pray, Father, as a church, as we press on, Lord, I pray that you be in the very center of it all. God, we love you. We adore you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. See, I was just going to go on with my preach, and I was even talking to Martin earlier there, and I really felt that when I came to church earlier, that it wasn't even my title weighed upon the Lord. My title was, do you love him? But out of nowhere, you know, God put that word in my heart, weighed upon the Lord. And I really want to encourage each one of us, including myself, you know, that preach is for me as well, because I pray to God, but Am I listening to God as well? Do you know, we pour all our burdens to God, but are we giving him time to talk back to us and minister to us? Do you know, and in the stillness, he is there. It's even in the scriptures, be still and know I am God. And I want to encourage each one of us, you know, like over this week, you know, as we go on with our lives and all that, you know, just take a moment and just be still, and just don't even say a word or anything, but just be still and really let God minister to us. Really, really let God minister to us. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be still, and I'm going to let God minister into my very being. Amen.